May I please the court, counsel? My name is John Schroeder. I represent the Middle Republican Natural Resources District. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please. The rule in the Middle Republican is there are no new irrigation wells. The new irrigation wells were suspended as a result of the conflict with Kansas in 2002. In order to get a new well, an applicant must apply for a variance. Applicant has the burden to show good cause to vary from the rule, no new wells. The applicant requested a new well in this case to move it into Township 835 through a variance. The board denied that variance. The Middle Republican rules allow for a hearing on the denial of a variance, and the board gave the applicant a hearing. The board heard testimony of 3 witnesses and considered 52 exhibits. The variance was unanimously denied by the 11 publicly elected directors. 2 of the exhibits clearly give the board reason to deny. Exhibit 30, 6 of 17, shows the development percentage of Township 835.
Council, before you continue on the merits, yes. Amicus in a brief raises 2 jurisdictional arguments, and I want to ask you about the second of their jurisdictional argument, and that was the argument that the local district board was acting in a legislative capacity, not a judicial capacity, and consequently it wasn't appealable, all of that. Would you care to address that?
Yes, Your Honor. The rule for the variance allows for a hearing, right or wrong. That's our rule. And we gave the hearing. Looking back after the fact and considering the amicus argument says that even though it's an order that's appealable under the Groundwater Management Protection Act, it doesn't necessarily give them the right to appeal because it's not statutorily authorized. The NRD does a lot of things that you don't have a right to an appeal. Allocations, certified acres, many things they do, and there's just certainly no right of appeal. So the amicus is suggesting that there's no statutory authority to appeal the denial of the variance, and I think it's a legitimate argument.
Does the Groundwater Management Act speak at all to the issue of this, of a hearing with respect to a variance?
No. So the applicant requested a new well in Township 835, and it was denied. Two of the exhibits, the exhibit on the development percentage shows 42% development in that township. 42 of every 100 acres in the township is irrigated. That's the highest development percentage in the 105 townships in the Middle Republican. But the high development percentage leads to decline in the groundwater. And that is the most important factor, is the static water level. Exhibit 30, 7 of 17, shows a 23-foot decline in that township, a foot a year since the early 1990s. Now, the legislature charged the NRDs to protect the resource. The mission of the NRDs is the conservation of groundwater, and the local rule says to protect the water quantity. The information on those 2 exhibits gave the board good and rational reasons to deny the appellee's variance. Instead, the district court rebalanced the evidence. What it should have done was to examine the record to see if there was a good rational reason basis to deny the variance so that it's not guided by fancy. The 23-foot decline is a good basis for the board's decision.
And well, what did the district court say? Did it look at the transcript of what the board was doing and say that the board did this for the wrong reason?
The court had basically 3 reasons for overturning the board's decision. First of all, it said it relied on the wrong rule, and I'm going to cover that in a minute if that's all right. And I'll show you that that's not the case. Or I'll address it right now. The wrong rule. So we went into deliberations in this meeting, and it was in the public. And during the deliberations, the board initially discussed the transfer rule instead of the variance rule. And the assistant manager, Berrigan, interrupted them a little ways in and said, "Gentlemen, this is not a transfer, it's a variance." Now, transfer is where you move acres from one location to another. The variance, he needed to drill a new well. He wanted to decommission the well by Maywood and move it north of Hay Center in the 835. So he had to have a variance for the new rule.
And
so,
when you're talking about variance, which is what's on deck,
yes,
what's the relationship between a variance and proofs regarding the reduction of groundwater? In other words, does the record need to show the reduction in groundwater is due to utilization or drought or other factors?
Those factors were addressed in the hearing, those issues, but the declines, depletions, and development percentage is all presented to the board, and that was considered in the variance.
It's presented as a fact. Is the causation also ascribed to the reduction?
The causation is clearly the development, the 42% development. The wells in that township were all consistent to the 90s. When they started drilling the new irrigation wells, and we got all the irrigation wells, then you saw the declines, and it was 1 foot a year from 1990 to the day of the hearing.
So there's expert testimony that development causes reduction, or is that just the logical inference?
My assistant manager testified, and he is an expert, but it's just logical. It just follows.
Thank you.
Doesn't this case also involve some transfer of acres as well?
Yes, and that's the real kicker, is that he wanted to transfer 90 acres from the Maywood Township to the Hay Center Township.
So it wasn't just a variance, it was a variance and a transfer.
Yeah, that's correct.
And did the district court take new evidence on the appeal?
The district court, we spent a day in court, and our position was the de novo on the record judicial review, and yet the appellant, or the appellee, filed the extra two causes of action, so the court combined those, and as a result, we had all the evidence come in. So it's difficult to tell from the record what the court used as evidence to make the decision. That's another problem.
Counsel, do you think the trial court applied a de novo standard of review or applied a standard of review for errors appearing on the record?
And we can't tell from the record because...
On page 8 of the court's decision, it says the court finds that the decision of the district was not supported by the evidence, does not conform to the law, and was therefore arbitrary. Does that sound like a errors appearing on the record standard of review?
Yes, it does.
And wouldn't that be the incorrect standard of review?
For the agency review, it would be de novo on the record.
All right.
And that's correct. On the other two causes of action, it would be correct.
If there was a variance, did the NRD have any duty to present evidence?
The NRD did present evidence. We offered a significant number of exhibits, all the information on the development percentages, depletions and declines. Exhibit 7, or there's 17 pages in Exhibit 30, and that information was presented to the board. I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mossman, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court, Mr. Schroeder, Steve Mossman and Ryan McIntosh from Mattson Ricketts for the Appley Medicine Creek LLC.
What's our standard of review of the district court's decision?
Your Honor, I think your standard of review is for errors appearing on the record. That's from the Lingenfelter versus Laurel.
So the legislature gives the district court more power than the appellate court.
The district court is what?
Has more power than the appellate court in its review.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
This case,
as long as that question was asked, what standard do you think the district court applied in making its decision?
To me, Your Honor, the district court looked whether there were errors on the record that used the language. This is from Wagner versus Central Platt NRD, that whether errors on the record is whether the decision conforms to the law, is supported by competent evidence, is neither arbitrary, capricious, nor unreasonable.
Isn't that the standard that applies at the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court?
The standard, that, and that's from the Wagner case, I think that applies to the district court standard.
That's your interpretation of the
law. That's my interpretation of it. And okay. If you go to the APA, and I've got a cite to that, I believe, in our brief. Well, I'll get to that in a second, Your Honor.
That's fine. Thank you.
This case is about the disparate treatment that was afforded Medicine Creek by the Board of Directors of the Middle Republican NRD and the District Court's absolutely correct decision to call them on it.
Before you get into the merits, I want to ask you the same question about the jurisdiction. Would you address that, please?
You bet, Your Honor. The Groundwater Management Protection Act, NREBSTAT 46750, explicitly provides for appeal to the district court in cases like this. Any person aggrieved by any order of the district, and it lists the director of NDEQ and the DNR, issued pursuant to the Nebraska Groundwater Management Protection Act, may appeal the order. This appeal shall be in accordance with the administrative procedure. And this court found in Lingenfelter, the same thing that the district court found in this case, is that the Middle Republican NRD is not an agency, but that the appeal is to be in accordance with the APA, which means you follow the same sort of procedures. And, Your Honor, I think that's explicit in the statute granting that. If you go to what
Would you also address the amicus argument about legislative versus quasi-judicial?
Your Honor, there's no question that this was a quasi-judicial decision. Mr. Schroeder just talked about how 52 exhibits were entered. We had a court reporter there. We had a hearing officer there. They attached to our complaint in this case is a decision to deny variance, and they get to the second page of that, is therefore ordered, adjudged, and decreed by the Board of Directors to deny the variance. And that could not be any more judicial than that, Your Honor. And I would note
That provides then for us for an appeal of that decision.
Pardon?
Then there is an appeal of that decision.
And then the appeal is absolutely prescribed by the legislature pursuant to statute. As Mr. Schroeder argues in his brief, this entire case is predicated on the rules and regulations that the NRD adopted pursuant to the Groundwater Management Protection Act.
Thank you. I'll let you get on to what you really want to talk about.
To put another fine point on that, Your Honor, the issue about joining the injunctive and declaratory relief with the APA, that same procedure was followed by the appellant in Lingenfelter versus Lower Elkhorn NRD, a case decided that Judge Castle wrote the opinion on last year, and there was no question about any problems with combining those two cases. And contrary to the amicus argument, Medicine Creek has been very clear, both in the district court and in this court, that there were two things that Judge Urban was deciding. First, he was deciding the appeal of the adjudicative hearing before the NRD, and that was pursuant to Exhibit Number 1, which was the record of that hearing offered to the district court. Separately, and the reason we had a trial is Medicine Creek said, if we don't prevail on that, we would like to challenge the rules and regulations of the Middle Republican NRD and would ask for declaratory and injunctive relief against those rules and regulations.
All of that, whether you characterize it as one claim or two with respect to declaratory and injunctive, it all was a constitutionally based claim.
All constitutionally based.
So it really is a single claim in that sense.
It's a single claim in that sense, and we were very careful in our brief that was filed, actually in the Court of Appeals, to distinguish, here are the facts that were presented to the MRNRD board. These are used to determine whether the denial, reversal of the denial of variance is proper. These are the facts that were presented to the district court. These are to be used to determine whether the rules and regulations were constitutional.
And the rationale for taking up the constitutional issue in the district court for the first time is?
The rationale for that, that's a very good question. It's res judicata, Your Honor. It would be my belief that, and this court has heard quite a few appeals under the Groundwater Management Protection Act in the last dozen years, and it's a little bit of a quagmire in terms of the appeal rights and what can be presented, and my concern was if we didn't present it then, came back to present it again, we would be barred by the doctrine of res judicata.
When you're in a lower forum, let me see if I can understand this. Your thinking is in your lower forum, they don't have the power to address the constitutional issue.
No, the district court would have had the power to address the constitutional issue. I meant
like more at the administrative level and the hearing level, right? Okay.
I'd like to get a bit to the merits. The record before the adjudicatory hearing, before the MRNRD board, reveals that there were 16 straight, similar, some identical variances granted by the board before Medicine Creek was denied. Medicine Creek, getting back to Justice Castle, I think we had the burden to prove that the decision did not conform to the law, was not supported by the competent evidence, was either arbitrary, capricious, or legal, and we believe that Medicine Creek met that burden in front of Judge Erbaum, and that should be affirmed by this court. And
so is your argument that this is arbitrary and capricious because everybody else got a variance and you didn't?
Well, I think the main argument and the thrust of Judge Erbaum's decision was that the board's decision was based on MRNRD Rule 5-1.9, and that's a rule that clearly applies to transfers and not the variances requested by Medicine Creek. And to get to Justice Funk's question on transfer, the transfer of irrigated acres is not the same as a transfer as defined in the rules and regulations. And I've cited that specific regulation and rule in our brief. That use of the word transfer in that sense, that would make Rule 5-1.9 apply, is when you physically move water from one parcel of ground to another. And we were not asking you to do that. Almost every NRD now has the certified irrigated acres provision, which is what was at issue in the Lingenfelter case. And that says the NRD can certify acres on a tract. Medicine Creek was saying, I want to move these very inefficient flood irrigated acres to a more efficient parcel. And that's what the 90 acres that were part of the variance were for. But those were the transfer of certified irrigated acres and not the transfer of water.
Well, within this whole district, you have different townships, right?
Different townships, right.
And he wanted to move his well in one township to a well in another township.
Correct, Your Honor.
What was the status of the township that to which he wanted to move his well or drill a new well? What was the status?
Well, I think...
Was there a moratorium on drilling in that township?
No, but as Judge Erbaum noted, the source property from where the acres were going to be transferred was in what's called the rapid response area. And that allows the MRNRD to shut off water usage for those wells. And most importantly, it makes Nebraska less compliant with the Republican River Compact with Kansas. The destination property was an upland property that was not hydrologically connected to the Republican River or its tributaries. It was going to be used up there in a more efficient manner. But I want to get back to the transcript of the hearing. The board member that led the deliberation said, Mr. Wood's argument is, I mean, it fits to the T to all the ones we have already done. But the only reason for we're going to deny that is because of rule, and I'm paraphrasing now because of time, but Rule 5-1.9. And that's the only rationale that was contained in board deliberations, and that's what Judge Erbaum found was an error of law, no matter how you look at it. In addition, if this one fits to a T, all the ones they've done, I believe it is arbitrary and capricious, Mr. Chief Justice. So I would ask that the decision of Judge Erbaum be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
1 minute and 1 second.
I'd like to address the wrong rule. They said the decision was made on the wrong rule. If you look at the deliberations, it specifically says deny the variance. The variance is the rule. They initially talked about transfers, which are similar, but they corrected and they said variance. Now, but more importantly, the development percentage is a factor that the board must consider. So the appellee is asking you to hold that the board cannot consider development percentage because the variance, because the development percentage is listed in another rule? We don't buy that, and you shouldn't buy it either. The development percentage is important in all of these decisions. With reference to equal protection, if you look at Exhibit 51 and look at all the variances that were granted, you'll see the stark difference between the appellee's development percentage, 42%, and the 23-foot decline. It's so different, they're not even comparable to the other variances that were granted.
Was the NRD allowing new wells to be drilled in that particular township?
No, there's a moratorium in the entire Middle Republic.
Okay, so the variance would merely say that we're going to allow you to drill a well in this particular area.
That's what they requested.
But the board said because you've got a development percentage of 42%, which is the highest in the district, and we have a decrease in the water level of 22.9 feet, which is the highest in the district, we're not going to let you put a new well in there.
That's exactly our case.
And so we review that for arbitrary, capricious, and unreasonable?
Exactly. We do not believe the decision was arbitrary and capricious. It was a good decision. On the rapid response argument, compact compliance, it's pass-fail. It's not closer to compact compliance, as Mr. Mossman just said. It's either pass-fail, and we're in compliance. We have been since 2007, if you look at the MECAS. And Mr. Merrigan, in his testimony, testified that compact compliance is not relevant because we're not moving new acres into the Middle Republican. If you're not moving new acres into the Middle Republican, then compact compliance is not an issue, and it's irrelevant. And the court's decisions, his basis, three decisions, are the same. It's related to compact compliance, which is not relevant because we are in compliance, and moving these acres through this variance has no effect on compact compliance at all. Finally, on the good cause shown argument, the court did consider those factors. The court indicated that there wasn't consideration of those factors. If you look at the record, there was. The economics were considered. The owner testified. The tenant testified. Assistant manager testified about the benefits of moving gravity to pivot irrigation, and et cetera.
You said the court didn't consider those. I think you meant to say the district.
That's correct.
Considered
the board. The court said the board didn't consider them.
Right.
And when you look at the record, they did. All that evidence was presented for good cause shown.
Thank you.
And so it was presented. So this is obviously a very important decision for NRDs. We'd ask you to put the authority to make these decisions back with the NRDs where it ought to be. Otherwise, we'll have all the resulting appeals and all the problems. So we'd ask you to overturn the decision of the district court.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.